anchor scripture for the what I've been talking about the last several months when I'm with you. Amen. Me and Jim just changed it up this month just to throw you off. Amen. I think he had something. Yeah, this thing's ringing a little bit, Norman. It's ringing a little bit. Might take down the mid or take down the volume, one or the other. So I think Pastor Jim had some appointment. Somebody coming in town over in Dallas, so we swapped out. So hallelujah. Father, we just rejoice and thank you for the word. Thank you for the truth that you bring to us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and thank you for pastors through whom you minister the word. And as a work of yours, not a work of mine. So Father, I thank you and pray right now that those who receive today receive from you. And Father, I thank you that the word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, and discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So Father, today, just as I open the scripture, that each one is blessed and filled. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, looking back at Ephesians chapter 6, which has been talking about standing, what it is to stand. What it is to stand. A lot of times, you know, standing is, you know, like what I'm doing up here, is standing, but to stand firm, to stand and completely equipped, stand without having any fear of being knocked off your ability to hear the Lord and to know that of a truth, you have been sanctified by the Lord from the heart. You're being changed little by little, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. You've heard me run it past you before. Is that God changes us little by little by little by little, looking at you. We're talking about from the outward man, the outward person, and talking about the soul. So he's changing it. So let's read this, Ephesians 6. It talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And, you know, what happens is God puts that on. God does. You put it on, but you put it on because God put it on you. Amen? You just agree to it. Amen? I'm just not going to agree to what God did because I don't do it. Hey, I just agree to what he did. Amen? Otherwise, I'm going to think, well, let's see. Let me try to figure out again how to do this. You know, no, don't try to figure things out. Just rejoice. Just begin to rejoice. You know, I've said it before, is that to get into the presence of God, you don't need hours. You just need a mouth. To come into the presence of God, you don't need hours and hours. What you do is you need a mouth. Now you spend time in the presence of the Lord, and God begins to move and do things in you to transform your mind, to transform you as you spend time in the presence. I'm not saying don't spend time, but I'm saying so many people have this thing. They have a hitch in getting started. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? You have a hitch in getting started. It's kind of like, well, if I don't have a lot of time, I'm like that on a lot of things. Anybody like that? You procrastinate because you think you need this much time to do it. Huh? Anybody like that? You know, I'm not talking about in prayer. I'm just talking about anything. There's so many things you didn't get done, so many things I didn't get done because I didn't have enough time to start it. So I've got myself talked into the fact that I don't have time to start anything. I've got plenty of time. God's got all my time. So I just step on in and begin to do something. You know, I won't know where to stop. That's fine. Don't worry about where you're going to stop. But right now, I'm telling you this, is to come into the presence of God is you just say it. You just declare it. Just sit down in your car. Don't turn on the radio and say, Father, thank you that you're just with me and I'm in you right now. I don't care if you do it in the bathroom. You know? Well, I'm glad I'm not in a big church where people get offended. Amen? You know? I've only been there 5 minutes. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God's with you. He loves you. He just loves to spend time with you no matter where you are. Amen? Now, don't think I'm really being too funny. I'm really being accurate. Because God wants to be with you no matter where you are. Because he's not checking the flesh. He's just checking you. He's just loving your heart. He's just loving the heart. Amen? So, come into the presence of God anytime, any place, very shortly, very quickly. Just, Father, I thank you that I'm with you right now. I thank you that you love me right now. I thank you that my sins are forgiven. I thank you that all my sins are forgiven. I thank you that you're not looking at my sins, you're looking at Jesus. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me and transforming in me and changing me. Okay, Ephesians 10 here. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, there's that word, against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yeah. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, that doesn't just mean people, that means you. That just doesn't mean people, that means your flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, I'm trying, Lord. No. We don't wrestle against that flesh and blood. Flesh and blood has nothing to do with it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, wickedness. Read it. Powers of darkness. Against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. All of that stuff is speaking to you, speaking to your heart, speaking to your mind, causing you to say to make a detour from the promise of God. Amen. Things in this world always will get you to make a detour from the promise of God. I mean, because you're just used to it. Let's keep going. I'm going to get stuck on this if I'm not careful. Wherefore, take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So take it to you. Having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereto, praying in the Spirit, that's powerful, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Having done all, putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, and the armor of God is not a physical armor. The armor of God is a spiritual armor, which is used in the realm of the mind, the will, and the emotions as well. Because what comes when the devil comes, he comes against your mind, your will, and your emotions. When the enemy comes, he comes against your sense of what is the appropriate response to a given situation. Amen. A lot of times we respond based on flesh. You know, we respond. You punch me, I punch you back. Unless you're bigger than me, and then I have another plan. Amen. You ever had that? You ever got another plan? See, that's the other part. Is, well, I won't do the obvious. I won't punch him back, but I got a different plan. Somehow I'll get him. Somehow I'll make this right. You know what? You don't get to make it right. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't get to make it right. What you do is you get to go to Jesus. Hallelujah. You get to go to Jesus. Even the scripture talks about going to court, you know, when you go, especially within the church. Yeah, we're going to go sue Brother Craig, you know, because he did wrong. And no, God said forgive him. God said actually he set up a court within church. Anybody know that? God set up actually a court within the church. He said, you know, if go to me and Craig alone. Try to send it out. Don't crucify him. Don't send his name up in lights. Come to him personally, and make it right between him and me alone. If we still disagree, and I believe that God's he did me wrong. That I'm going to bring it between one or two others, and not tell him my side. Amen. All right, we're going to get together and we're going to get this brother. You always want to get people who are already on your side. Amen. No, you just get two or three brothers. You just pick them blindly out of the church, amen, and just bring them in. Okay, yeah, because you're having a court. It's a jury. Just two or three others, and share the thing. And then, if it's apparent that the brother still is unrepentant, and it's clear that the Word of God is clear in the circumstance, then you bring it before the church. Does that mean y'all? No, it doesn't mean y'all. I mean, you know, we could have people in here who are unbelievers. They're not eligible to vote. They're not eligible to say anything. They have the mind of this world. This is not where the church is. The church is in the church is the house church. The church is where the believers meet. Amen? Meeting from house to house. This is a public meeting, right? Amen? This is a public meeting. This is where anybody comes in. Doors are open Sunday morning. We announce it to the world. You know, 11 o'clock, everybody come. So this is where everybody comes. But then we have meetings where we meet privately. We meet privately as the church. Okay? And all of this has to do with how you stand. How you stand. How you stand with the whole armor of God. How you stand dressed for battle. Because every day you're dressed for battle in this world. Amen? You're dressed for battle here because every day you rise up to declare the gospel. And this world is against you. This world is not a friendly place. This world is not for you. This world is not a place where you're going to hang out with them and make friends with them and make buddy with them. Amen? And go to the game with them. No. I mean, there you will talk to people in the daily goings, in your daily goings, but you will not fellowship with just everybody whom you come in contact with, because they don't walk with God. So what you're doing is coming together with those who are of like faith, of like precious faith. So putting on that whole armor, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. All right, putting on the truth. Putting on the truth, always. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. That way you're not afraid. Well, I'm getting stuck in 6:10 again, aren't I? Amen. I need to move on. I preach on this every time I start with it. Because it's necessary. It's good for you. Amen? It's powerful. It's very good. Okay, look over in Romans chapter 14. Hope you got your Bible bowl shirt on. Because we kind of run around in here. Romans 14, 4. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yet he shall be helped up, for God is able to make him stand. Now, first of all, who are you to judge another man's servant? In other words, you're not. Now, there's no business of yours judging another man's servant, just judging somebody's actions. According to the Word of God, yes, and according to, as I just discussed, in the church. But again, you don't get to stand and judge somebody else just because, you know, you're gonna make a judgment call on that individual and decide whether you like them or not, whether they're saved or not. You know, we're not talking about, again, when I was talking about Craig, I'm talking about a personal interaction where you and someone else are having an issue or a dispute. This is talking more specifically about folks who are just kind of looking an overview over the congregation of people. And, you know, I think Jim used to talk about it. He said the girls would look in the Sears catalog and say, go through the pages and say, she's ugly, she's pretty, she's ugly, she's pretty, she's ugly, she's pretty. And you just make these judgment calls. Just, you know, you're just sitting in judgment in making commentary on who on people. Just making judgment and commentary on who you see and who you interact with. God's desire for you is to see everyone not after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16, we don't longer look at people after the flesh. Again, in the example I'm talking about here with Craig and I, we're not looking at each other after the flesh, we're actually looking at each other after the Spirit. And then dealing with one another in the church with respect to that. But here, we're talking about just making judgments on individuals, you know, wherever you may be. We're not looking at people after the flesh. I don't look at anybody after the flesh. The Bible says I don't even look at myself after the flesh. That's a tough one. Amen? Because you look at you every day. Or you listen to you every day. And if the enemy's good, and if it's good with you, if this one happens to work well with you, the enemy loves to get you under condemnation because he's got you looking at you all day. Huh? Powerful. He's looking at you all. He's got you looking at you, checking yourself all day long. Well, what good is that? That's not helping anybody. It's not helping you grow, checking yourself. Just check the Holy Spirit. Just check the face of the Lord. Just walk with Him, live with Him, let Him show you what He's working on. Amen? Don't worry about what if somebody else is doing out here. Who are you to judge another man's servant? That is, boy, what a time waster. What a time waster that is. Like you're going to fix that? Huh? I mean, do you ever get fixated on people? Just fixated on what people are doing. I mean, it's just like, you know, all of a sudden you got your eyes off of Jesus and you got it on somebody else. Well, at least I don't have my eye on me. Well, amen. Well, what's happening is now you've got your eyes fixed on people. Walking with your eyes fixed on the Lord, fixed on Jesus, and knowing that He is transforming you and He is using you to be a deliverer of everyone you come in contact with. Amen? You're delivering, you're walking to deliver everyone whom you come in contact with. That's what God uses you for. That's what you are for. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, imagine God using you. Isn't that weird? I mean, He would actually manifest Himself through you because you're just worshiping and giving praise and thanks to Him. Now, here on the last part of that verse, yea, he shall be helped up. So in other words, don't worry about somebody else because he's going to stand or fall based on God. For God is able, and yea, he shall be helped up, for God is able to make him stand. God is able to make him stand. And really, what we're talking about here is that let's back up. I'm going to back up to the first verse of this. Should have started with it. It says, him that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not to doubtful disputations, not to your own opinions. For one believes that he may eat all things, to another who is weak, he eats herbs. He just can't manage to receive that freedom to eat, you know, whatever's offered to idols. Paul said it doesn't matter. But somebody else, because of his background, he has a hard time. He just can't do it and have a good conscience. Let that guy be. Don't be on his case. Let him not him that eats despise him that eats not. What's the matter, brother? You weak? And let not him which eats not judge him that does eat. For God has received him. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master, that is God, he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be helped up, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, that guy may get free, but he's going to get free because God's helping him up, not because you're beating him down. Amen. Am I being hard on you? Just let him go. Amen. You know, a lot of time we've got the word of the Lord. We've got the word of the Lord and, you know, like nobody else. Well, praise God for you. Glad you do. But you know what? Somebody else needs that freedom. Amen? It's because you're walking in peace and walking in love toward everybody who doesn't, you know, see the freedom the freedom in the gospel. There is a freedom in the gospel that has allowed you to absolutely have no fear of God in the sense that you're afraid that God's holding a stick over your head. Amen? He doesn't hold a stick over you. Amen? He, in fact, comes to you. Jesus said it in Matthew over and over again, your Father in heaven, your Father in heaven. The Jews just didn't have a clue on this. Your Father in heaven loves you. You pray in secret, your Heavenly Father, your Father in heaven will reward you openly. He is your Father who absolutely loves you. Okay, now, so he says, for God is able to make him stand. Let's get back to this standing. God is able to make him stand. So I'm going to pray for that brother or sister that God is going to give them the same freedom that he's given me, is to not be condemned or beat down by traditions that have come through men or come through religion. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1. And I, brethren, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith should not stand. See, faith stands, but it's not in the wisdom of men. It's not in the fact that you know, I can speak eloquently or you can bring somebody here and have them impressed. But it's because it's the Word of God is setting people free. Amen? Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. The Bible says even a little child shall speak unto them. Your faith does not stand in the wisdom of this world. We continue here in this chapter. He says, however, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, that are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world to our glory. And look over at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So our faith does not stand in the wisdom of men and the ability of men to articulate clearly the Word of God. Our faith stands in the ability of God to declare His Word, and for His Word to reach our heart and transform me. Amen? His Word is transforming me. In other words, I can't write off the guy who looks like a bozo. I just have to listen to Jesus. I have to listen to God. Say, God, you know, if you got something for, you know, if so-and-so's not, you know, preaching, then, you know, I'm going to listen for you. You go for God, not for a person. Amen? You're going to hear the Word of God preached, not to hear a certain individual preaching and guarantee that you're going to get something out of that. You may not. Amen? All right. Let's look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 37. This is talking about when the man gives is giving his daughter away in marriage or not. Now listen to this. Nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his own heart, having no necessity but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, that is his daughter, rather than having her marry, doeth well. Now, I want to talk about that because he's talking about this man's mind. This man's setting, this man has set his will in this particular event, having to do with whether or not you're going to follow through with what you believe the Lord has spoken to your heart. He says, nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his own heart, having no necessity, no obligation, or no burden, no fear of others. In other words, you're set. Jesus determined to go to Jerusalem, his face set like a flint. Jesus, you don't want to go down there. You don't want to go down there. People are looking to kill you. Paul did the same thing. People are looking to kill you. You're going to go down there, and you'll be in big trouble. And by the way, we're going to be in trouble because we're going to go with you. So we just assume you not go. But he says, he that stands steadfast in his own heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Now what is that? Having power over his own will. Amen? Because your will gets actually slapped around. Amen? Because your will is anything you determine to do, whether it's of God or whether it's not. Amen? I mean, have you ever had something that just kind of came your way and you just let your will just lay down, and then if somebody tried to tell you don't do it, you just, by golly, you stood up tall and said, I'm going to do what I want. None of y'all have been like that, I know. But I've done that a few times. But him who stands steadfast in his own heart, having his heart, having been transformed by the truth and by the Word of God. You begin to stand according to the Scripture no matter what is standing against you. No matter what somebody is saying, no matter what somebody comes to you with, you're standing according to what God has already done in your own heart. Because you have no obligation, no burden to this world, and all fear of God. Fearing only God. How powerful is that to have the Word of God and so set in your heart? And a lot of time it's one thing or another, one issue or another, that God, because God gets you in various places. He works on one thing and then He works on another thing. Anybody know that? Anybody experience that? Seems like you're just not making any progress in this over here, but God seems to be working on this other thing, and you can always tell, because it's just like you're suffering over here on this side, and this other thing, He's just letting it go. It's something, well, God, you know, if you're smart, you'd work on that sin. And He said, I'm not interested in working on that one. I'm interested in working on this one here. You just don't even know how you're put together. Amen? How many knows you don't know how you're put together? You just can't get it straightened out. Amen? You're just like a big old jigsaw puzzle, and God cut the pieces. And He knows how to put it together. And He's not going to work on this part. He's working on a whole other corner of the puzzle, and you think He needs to work on this one. You ever stood over some grandma's working on her puzzle, and you're over there trying to help her out, and she don't want you messing with that end of the puzzle, because you're going to mess her up. I had a grandmother who used to do jigsaw puzzles. And I used to go and I'd start trying to help out, put little pieces. Well, she had the other pieces all lined up over here, you know, the ones that weren't in. She had them all kind of sorted out in one way. And I'd come in there and just, oh man, I would mess that thing up. I'd mess up her strategy. Now, you can't mess up God's strategy, but you can sure mess your own brain up by having so much stress and so much fear over what's going on in your life. Amen? I mean, you could be trying to fix stuff in your life, and then you get so frustrated, you just give up. You know what? Just rest. If you haven't been resting lately, I want you to rest. So just go to Belize. I don't know y'all were in Belize. Just happened. You headed for Kansas City and ended up in Belize? Sounds like the Bible. Did Janet tell you about her uncle? He built churches in Belize for years. Yeah. So you guys are out there just picking the fruit. That's powerful. Amen. Just down there ministering and witnessing. Amen. That's so cool. All right. So, standing steadfast in your own heart. Standing steadfast. Nobody can take you. Amen. Now, listen, I know that somebody says, it's just hard. You know what? I know it's hard, but it's because you're checking. Because you're checking your progress. Or it seems that things just aren't moving ahead. You know, when things aren't moving ahead, the best thing to do is just to give thanks to God, just to start rejoicing and giving thanks to God, because He knows what He's doing and you don't. Amen? That's the best way to do it. Just because the enemy loves to use the other one. He loves to use you, get all in turmoil, get all worked up, get all stressed out. Amen? He just likes that. The enemy loves to stress you out, because then you're just, you know, out there in the middle of a field somewhere, and you know, you don't know which way to go. Amen? The best is to just open your mouth and begin to sing. Give praise to God. Some of you aren't singers, I can tell. Amen. I just can't understand people who aren't singers. Amen? Know what I mean? I just can't understand people who aren't singers. But that doesn't matter. I don't get to judge you because you're not a singer. Come on, brother, you'll get it if you'll just sing. Well, maybe not. You know? See, I need to get rebuked in some areas. Amen? A lot of you'd like to rebuke me right about now, I'm sure. But I don't worry about that. I used to worry about things like that. I don't. You know? Or when people frown and when you're preaching, you know, that's always a good sign, you know? course, I found out some people, like Robin here, when she's really concentrated, sometimes she doesn't look like she's all that happy, but she just, well, yeah, you got to look at you when you're preaching. Wait on point, I'm preaching. You know, people get very sober. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I shouldn't be doing that. So I'll talk about Paul. Amen. I'm done with you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But I might come back to you. All right. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to try to make it through a few this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh, we're going to have to quit again soon. Oh, this is a good one anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. Somebody laughing over there already. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, I love this next verse. After that, I love this next verse. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Huh. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. You know, usually we read that one verse, but we don't read the one after it. Did you know you can get off into idolatry if you believe that something's harder for you to handle? Amen. You go find you a God who'll help you. Huh? Anybody ever gone out and done that? Say, God, you don't seem to be helping me, so I'll find somebody to soothe me. That's idolatry. We've been talking about that there in our class on Sunday night. Talk about graven images. Thou shalt make no graven image, make unto thee any graven image, that you may worship it. Amen? See, there's a lot of things we can pick out in this world to worship because they're better than God. Because see, what God's after is destroying the outward. He's already destroyed the power of sin. Now he's just destroying the fruit of it. And your flesh, though, is kind of tied to it. So your flesh is just not really excited about it. You know, your flesh actually uses sin to kind of soften the blow. You know, God's out to kill you and you're out to backpedal and do everything you can to get away from him. That's just your flesh. You have to understand, that's just flesh. Flesh is nothing. You know, except for the fact that, you know, it gets pinched and you can feel it. It just means you're not dead, amen? Have y'all ever been down to the funeral home and pinched the dead person? I guess not. But if you were, well, Monty, you may have done that. Yeah, I'm just looking over here. I caught that little thing. Now, I got a friend of mine who's a preacher in Louisiana. Now, y'all may just think this is Louisiana, but on his side job is picking up dead bodies. Y'all ought to go. I told him I'll go with him one day. Sometimes his wife goes with him. Wouldn't that be fun? But I mean, you know, and I guess once in a while you may have dropped one or something, or it fell out of the bag or whatever happened. You know, that guy doesn't complain. The people who are dead just don't complain. Amen? They don't complain. So that's you. You don't complain. Amen? Hallelujah. And if you do, you've figured out, oh, golly, I'm not dead yet. And then you just rejoice and give thank God. Don't get upset about that. Don't get upset about it. Just thank God and say, God, I'm not dead yet. You got more work to do. See, what I'm trying to do is get you out of the mode of being afraid of God, or afraid God's mad at you. You know what? He's not mad. Hallelujah. He's not mad. Almost echoed in the building. God's not mad. He actually thinks you're great. He loves you. That's the reason he sent Jesus to die and spend all of his blood on you. Just like this blood we had today. He spent all that blood for you. He put that all out there on you. And he's cleansed you totally from all of your sins. And I'm having a good time. Amen? Now I hope you'll have a good time this week. I hope you'll have a good time and just forget about all the sins that you're trying to work on. And so you'll be able to, so you'll stand. You know, what's funny is, haven't done all the stand, like that guy there. Well, I've got this down. Praise the Lord. Y'all just love it when those guys stand up, don't you? Like it means something. See, because I'm like that scripture I read a while ago. It says I'm under no burden or no obligation. I fear only God. I don't fear those guys. Don't look at those guys behind the curtain. All right. So let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Because you don't stand on your own. You don't stand on your own ability and your own strength. So let him that thinketh he standeth look again. Now the first place I saw that scripture was at a place called the Cornerstone. It was a ministry there on West, you probably remember this. They had a sign right over there. There's one step down, and they had a sign right above the step. And I thought it was kind of funny after a while that they had the sign hanging up here, but the step was down there. So you weren't looking down where you were looking. You were looking up at the sign that says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." But I think they should have had it about a foot back from the when you were going to have to need it. Because you think you stand. You think you're okay. But you know what? There was a surprise waiting for me. There was a surprise. There's always a surprise waiting for you. Amen? So you always want to have your eyes focused on the love of God, the Word of God. Don't be thinking that you've got it down. Don't be thinking you've got it down. You know, when you're going about your business and going about wherever you do, you know, a lot of times you might go out of town a lot, you know. And boy, I tell you what, you're looking for the signs and you're taking heed. But boy, when you're around your house and you're around your home and you're around your people, you're just operating like you know what you're doing. You know what? God's always moving the furniture. Isn't he, Edie? He's always moving the furniture on you. You're just like a blind person, and God will move the furniture on you. You know why? Because he wants you to trust him. Amen? Gosh, I thought just when I had everything down, just when I had it all figured out, just when I was ready for, thought we were done or not, everything changes. You know what? Everything can change. We got a country right now that looks kind of silly. Are you worried about the nation? Are you worried about the money? Are you worried about the president and everybody else? You know what? You know, you may work in politics like we do, but you know, we don't believe in it. I mean, it's great to work in. It's great to have a hammer. It's great to have a screwdriver when you need one. But you know what? It won't save you. You know, you can, or we like to say, we like to throw a wrench in things. You know, you're not using the wrench for what it's really designed for. You just use it to cause other people problems who think they're trying to fix things their way. But I want you to know that it's not time to worry. It's time to rejoice and thank God. You know, today, people can get really afraid. Especially if you saved up all your money. Especially if you have gotten yourself in a position where you have just enough, and if anything, you know, you've got it all like that, and if anything falls, boy, you're in big trouble. You know what? I'm not in trouble. And it's not because I have a bunch of anything. I'm not in trouble because I have God who loves me, God who takes care of me. I'm not afraid. Now, something can come up and kind of jump up in front of me like the funhouse and go, whoo, you know. And I might go, whoo, what's that? For about a minute. But you're not going to get me. I want to tell you, here's how it is to stand. He's not going to get you. Amen? It doesn't matter what it is, you know. And again, you know, all they can do is kill you. Right? But you even have an answer for that. I've even got a hope for that. There's an app for that. You know, I got one for everything. I'm okay. I'm okay. No matter what's happening, I'm okay. Everybody okay? Amen. Ah, come on. I'm okay, yeah, because Jesus Christ is in me. He's making he's in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. All of the things that happened unto me, they fell out. I love this. They fell out for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul's talking about how everybody, when he was in jail, some people preached the gospel in a good way, and the other people preached the gospel because he was in jail their way. You know? It's like, oh good, I'm going to show him. I'm going to preach it my way. He's in jail. He can't come around and mess with me. It doesn't matter. Whatever people do, it's always working out for my good. It can't work out any other way. Amen? Do you believe that? I mean, that's what God said. To them that love God, to them that called according to His purpose, all things are working together for good. They are. Wow, we always end up with the same scripture. Well, it's true. Amen? It's fun. Stand. Standing is merely believing. Standing is merely trusting in what God already provided. Amen? Now, and what happens is there's all kinds of circumstances. It's all kinds of circumstances that take place that are trying to get your attention and trying to throw you off. You know what? You can't throw me. Amen? I can't throw you. These things, none of these things move me. Say that. None of these things move me. It's because I've already believed. I'm already at rest. I'm already at rest. Are you at rest? Say yes. Say just, it's just a yes. It's a yes. It's not, I'm not checking, I'm not taking your temperature. I know the answer. The answer is yes. I'm in Christ, He's in me, it's done. I'm at the land. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. Well, we'll just pick up where we left off next time I get around to it. God is faithful. Father, we just worship You and praise You and thank You. Thank You today that there is nothing that shall by any means hurt us. The power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us, causing us to know Your Word, causing us to be transformed. You have loved us, and we are totally at peace. No matter how we begin, You will cause us to stand. Always landing on our feet, not because of us, but because of You. Because You know how to make us stand. God is able to make me stand. So therefore I'll stand. So we give You the praise and the glory and the honor for it.